The little fellows laughed and they went home, very pleased with themselves. Indeed. 96. But by and by, the people in the villages began to feel that it was very hot. It was getting warmer and warmer every day. Down in the kivas it was so awfully hot that the men came out and the people came from their houses and they stood upon the housetops and looked toward the San Francisco peaks, to see if there were any clouds coming. But there wasn't even the tiniest bit of a cloud to give a pleasant shadow, and not a breath of air, and the people thought that they would smother. They thought they must do something right away, so the men made some more payos and called the little fellows again and they begged them to go back to Yupanchaki, house of Yupancha, right away and tell him that there must be peace, and then give him the payos and let him out, because this heat was much worse even than the wind. So the little fellows said that they would go and see what could be done to make things better. On the fourth day they arrived at the house of Yupancha and they talked together and decided that the best thing to do would be to let Yupancha have just a little hole open, just enough to let him breathe through, but not large enough for him to come out through, altogether. So they took out some of the cornmeal mush and right away a nice cool wind came out, and a little white cloud appeared and went over across the desert toward the Hopi towns. When the little fellows got home again to the villages, everybody was pleased. And they have been very grateful ever since. Ever since that time the winds have been just right, and just enough to keep the people cool without blowing everything away. Ever since then prayer offerings of payos, to this day, are made to the wind god Yupancha, in the windy month of March by the chiefs and high priests of the three villages of the second Mesa. 97. The Kanaya Kachinas of Sunset Crater. At Old Mishongnovi the people lived and at the San Francisco peaks the Kachinas were living. Over in the old town of Mishongnovi there was a young maiden who would not give up to any young man. Her parents were getting old. And the father was not able to do as much work as he used to, so he wished that his daughter would get married. But she had refused all proposals from the young men in her town and also from all the towns around. The old man, her father, was very much discouraged to think of all these young men who had tried their chances with the maiden and had met with failure. Sometime after this, at the San Francisco peaks, a young Kachina man heard about this. So he thought he would go over to Mishongnovi and propose to the maiden. When evening came he started out across the desert over to the Hopi towns, but being unknown in the town, he was very much in doubt of what the outcome of his undertaking would be. When he did get there sometime early in the night, he found the maiden grinding corn up in the second floor of her house. He went in and stood around for a while, and finally sat down. Then he asked her to stop for a moment and listen, because he would like to speak to her. But she would not stop and just kept on grinding. But finally, after a while, she did stop grinding. "Why did you stop?" asked the youth. "You asked me to stop," said the maiden. "Where are you from?" "I am from the west," he said, and at this, she thought that he was from Shung Povi. She saw that he was a very handsome-looking young man. Now the parents, in the room below, had noticed that their daughter had stopped her grinding and they wondered, for they thought that something unusual must be happening up there, but they dared not go up to see what or who it was who had come to see the maiden. Now the girl thought that it was getting late, so she asked the young man to go onto bed and as the boy was going out through the door, she asked him to come back and see her again. She herself now came downstairs to bed and the parents asked her who the young man was. She said she did not know him, though she had asked him to come back again to see her. Now the very next night the youth went back to see the maiden again and found her grinding corn the same as usual. The parents heard someone go up the ladder and walk over the roof to where their daughter was grinding. 98. She stopped her work and then they thought that it must be the same young man who was there the night before. They hoped that the maiden might be interested in this handsome youth, and indeed he did interest the maiden. So she asked him again, "Where is your home?" And he said as before, "Over in the west," and again she thought that he meant that he lived in Shungpovi. Now the maiden liked this handsome youth very much indeed. She said, "In 4 days I will go back with you. I will be prepared by that time, so come back upon that day and take me to your home." When the 4th day came, she prepared herself and had her hair done up in butterfly wings, polyana, and got ready some cornmeal and some piki, which she must take with her on her journey. When the boy came, everything was ready, and he took the tray of cornmeal while she carried her piki. They started out, and when they got outside of the village, the youth said, "Wait a while, I will see if we can travel easier and faster than we could walk, for we have some distance to go." He then reached into a little pouch which he was carrying and pulled forth something and threw it from him, westward, across the country, and the maiden saw it was a rainbow like a path before them, and she was very afraid. But she had already started out with him and she could not turn back. "Now let us get on," said the youth, and when they stepped upon it, the rainbow drew itself up to the other end, and when they landed they found that they were close to the little Colorado River. From there again the youth threw his magic in the same direction. The rainbow appeared and they mounted it again, and this time they landed on the south side of Palitzmo, Sunset Crater, or the home of the Kanaya Kachina. Here there was a little cloud hiding itself among the pine trees, and he was a Kanaya Kachina, and he spied the Kachina youth from the San Francisco peaks taking a Hopi girl with him. The maiden was weary and begged to take a rest and asked the youth to wait a little where he was, for her. She walked away some distance and presently she heard a voice which seemed to come from under her feet. The voice said, "Be careful, so you may not step on me." And the maiden stopped and looked about her but could not see anyone. It was the spider woman who spoke to her, and as the maiden moved to one side, she saw the light down in a little kiva where the good spider 99 grandmother lived. She asked the maiden to come in, and when she entered, the grandmother said to her in deep sympathy, "My dear child, I have to tell you. Because you do not know, being only a child, down in my heart I sympathize with you very deeply. You are out on your first trip and it may be your last trip, and you may not ever see your father and mother again. We cannot hesitate very long. Now I am going with you and I am prepared to go. If we win or lose, I am willing to die with you. The youth is a Kachina from San Francisco Peaks, and when you reach his home the Kachina people will give you some very difficult tasks to perform, and without my help you would surely fail. Quickly, put me in your ear and let us be on our way." The little spider woman was so invisible inside of the Hopi maiden's ear that she could not be detected by anyone, even a Kachina youth. When the maiden joined the boy again, he threw the rainbow up towards the peaks and they mounted upon it to take another leap. Now all this time the little cloud who was hiding in the pines knew what was going on, for this little cloud was one of the Kanaya Kachinas who lived in the Sunset Crater. This time the youth and the maiden landed right close to a great kiva far up in the peaks, and they descended from the rainbow and walked up to it. The youth approached the opening and calling in, he said, "Be courteous to this guest who is my companion, for I am come and am not alone." And a voice called out from the kiva, "Come in, come right in." They went in and there they found one old lone man sitting by the fire in the fire place. The old man begged the young maiden to sit down, and getting up he spread out his own wildcat skin robe for her to sit down upon. Now the whole kiva was very quiet, and after she had seated herself she noticed that the youth had disappeared and she did not know where he had gone. The old man was slowly poking into the fire trying to get more light, and he called out saying, "Mother of the house and you, young maiden, come forth. Some stranger has come and she has entered into our kiva." All this time the spider grandmother was whispering her advice into the ear of the Hopi maiden and telling her what she should do. Now from the north side of the kiva a handsome woman came forth. She seemed suspicious, although she acted with great politeness. The grandmother of the Hopi maiden had already told her of the character of this woman called Hahai Wuuti. Now the maidens of the house came forth also, and they served her with food. And when she was through they cleared it away. 100. By this time it was quite late in the night, so the old man said, "It is time to go bed," and the handsome Kachina woman, Hahai, then opened the door on the north side of the kiva and she asked the maiden to enter, and she told her that this was the room where she was to sleep. Now this was the place where the north wind lived, and as Hahai was leaving the room, she said to the maiden, "It is quite cold in here, but you will have to do the best you can to get through the night.